If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine light and love of the most radiant one, the Christ. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening we have a wonderful seminar. The title is How to Practice Awareness and Experience Your Own Divinity. So the experience that we are looking at tonight involves knowing the self that you are, which has been called, in some traditions, the soul. And the real spiritual life is actually about awakening to what you already are. You're already a multidimensional being that exists in every level of consciousness, which means you already are in soul awareness. You don't have to construct it. You don't have to fabricate it. You don't have to do anything but move your awareness to where it can be consciously realized so that you have a conscious reference point. Physically, emotionally, mentally, imaginatively, and in every way that you can possibly find a tracking device so that you can enter consciously and participate in life from the soul's level. A being that does that is free while still existing in the physical body. They're called in the East a Jivan Mukta, a freed soul. So you don't have to wait to experience God by dying. You can learn to die daily through moving your awareness beyond body consciousness into those levels that we call soul and traveling in your inner awareness to those dimensional places that are beyond time and space, such as we know them. When we do that, we can experience heaven now, while still in the physical body. You know, you can have this type of awareness dawn on you at any moment, at any point. You don't have to be sitting necessarily in meditation. You could be playing with your children or walking the dog or just going about your daily business. This experience very often comes when you least expect it. And part of that is the metaphor of the divine bridegroom coming at an hour, at a moment, when you least expect him. That's a part of the symbology of that story in the Bible about the bridegroom coming and some being ready to go in with him and some were not ready because they had not enough light. So we build this light through the practice of conscious awareness, which simply means looking to see what's there. Simple. You just simply start where you are. You come as you are. You take the place in which you find yourself. Don't worry about cleaning yourself up. That's God's business. But you just look to see what's there. You know, 99.9% of clairvoyance and prophetic insight is simply to look and see what is there, what is so for you right now in this moment. So let's take a deep breath and allow yourself to connect with that beautiful stream of life that extends from the heart of all that is, the very heart of the divine source, and breathes through you as the primordial breath of life that rocks your body ever so gently as you attune to it as the living word that may flash as light behind your eyelids or come in a beautiful violet light as you attune to that highest level of consciousness that is you as a divine being, temporarily clothed in a human vesture, but the clothing that you wear, that you call your body, changes. It changes with each immersion into time and space that you call lifetimes. In truth, soul simply is awareness, multidimensionally here now, and yet projected as individuality. In many places, in many coats of skin, different colors, different cultures and nationalities, different lineages and belief systems. To the soul, all lifetimes are here and now. They're not separated into a past and a future. That is the human understanding when it is caught up in the web of time. So the soul is simply that which is aware. And as it expands in its awareness, it awakens in more and more of its projected aspects, until at some point it transcends all sense of time and space and awakens as God consciousness, everywhere present, all-knowing, all-powerful, expressing through all that is. And yet, you build a great individuality with a capital I that does not dissolve into an amorphous mass when you merge fully with the living light and the living word, to where you know that you are the light and sound of God itself. You build a life, a greater life, by participating at a conscious level with every level of your being until you awaken to your identity, not only on the physical plane, but upon the astral plane and the causal plane and the mental plane and the soul plane and the dimensions of soul. Because once you reach into soul awareness, there are dimensions within that, many dimensions. each more rarefied and subtle than the one before. And at some point you transcend that. And you move into what we can only call the absolute realms of that which is. Some have called it the Karuna Sagara, which in Sanskrit means the divine ocean of mercy. Because it is like a golden, effulgent, well, you can't even call it golden. It becomes beyond color, beyond light such as we know it. It becomes that which transcends name and form. Because you began to move into the formless and the nameless, all that is. So what we have to look forward to is ever-expanding ecstasy, love, awareness, and joy of conscious creativity. As conscious co-workers, and as co-creators within the God realms that are beyond birth and death and phenomenal existence and the transitory states that we associate with the human life. And yet, having said that, these states, every one of them I've mentioned, are experiential now while we are in the human body. Oh, to go into those highest levels, you will need a teacher that knows the keys of soul, transcendence. So let's begin to move our inner awareness, shall we? Just take another deep breath and close your eyes and just focus your attention momentarily upon your body. Just notice if there's any areas that are tense. Start with your jaw. Relax it. Let your jaw drop. Often, a resistance in the consciousness is reflected in a clenching of the jaw or grinding the teeth when you sleep at night. Sometimes you're not aware of how tight your face and jaw has become. So just notice. Notice your neck now, your shoulders. Move them about. Make a conscious decision to let go and relax. Take a deep breath and release the light of your breath into any areas that seem uptight or tense. And move the light of your awareness down through the rest of your body. And when you're alone and you have the time to practice this at your leisure, move through your whole body from the top of your head to the tips of your toes, relaxing each part of your body until you have an awareness of the tingling of the life force coursing through your arms and your legs and your whole body. And feel the vitality of life. That is God in you, as you. Now move your awareness into what you're feeling. That would be your astral body, which is your imagination. And your causal body, which is your emotions. but both you can keep track of by staying present with what you're feeling. Really honestly. You know, often when we sense a discomfort in the emotional levels, we will try to rationalize or, in some form, quiet it. Numb it out, dull it out, ignore it, drown it out with music or distraction. But it's that little thing that is not at peace that you need to just look at. Your eyes are the windows through which the light of heaven, the light of divinity itself, shines through the portals of your eyes. So whatever you look at, whether it's with the outer eyes or the inner third eye, you pierce it with the light of your own divinity. And if you have just the intention to truly see, to just look at that source of whatever it is that's causing you to feel less than joy, less than peace, whatever it is, just look at it. And often, that is all that's required for it to clear. Because the moment it is seen truly in the light of your own inner awareness, the truth of your gaze dissolves anything less than that. What a simple technique we've just shared with you to stay present and simply look at what's going on is the very key that starts you in the process of bringing to your full remembrance who you truly are. As you become aware of what you're feeling, sometimes you will have a situation that sits very, very uncomfortably within you. It may be a feeling of dread. It may be a feeling of guilt. It may be a feeling of real regret at how you handled something. It is quite possible for that to be lifted through grace. And so I'm going to ask right now and show you how simple that is. And Father, Mother God, I ask now that whatever can be lifted now that is not for my highest good, that it be cleared through grace wherever that is possible. I step free through the love and grace of the Christ. Thank you, Father. And you can just take a deep breath and just see whatever that energy is just flow out of you and be dissolved in the love of the Christ. That's another way. Begin to work with yourself in the way that enables you to experience your freedom. If you can just simply stay present and look from the divine self at whatever it is, and that works, great. If you can ask that it be cleared through grace or upon the inner planes at night during the spiritual travel when you're out of your body, that's another way. Or sometimes the prayer of forgiving yourself for whatever it is that you have judged in yourself or another, sometimes that is the quickest way to move back into the experience of clarity and peace. So the soul is that part of us that is always happy, always joyful, always content, always at peace with all that exists. And anything less than that is simply not the soul. So notice when you are happy and at peace for absolutely no reason at all. Because you're experiencing yourself as soul. Notice those things that give rise to that. Sometimes we can be in the most horrific and stressful circumstances, and yet there's an inner joy and a peace that lets you walk through it almost like you were just passing through. And you have that sense of, yeah, we're just passing through. This too shall pass. This is a season of whatever, but it will pass. And you feel that sense of joy within you. It's not that, bubbling hilarity. It's a deep, quiet inner knowing that all is well. That is soul awareness. So pay attention to how to consciously cultivate and ride that state as long as you can. Anything that gives rise to that sense of happiness, make note of it and keep it cultivated within you. A big key to doing that, I found, is instead of looking for what's wrong with you or what's wrong with the situation, which is a sure road to depression and despair, instead of that, look for what is right about you. What is right about the situation? For that is the door to self-validation and self-confidence. If you don't validate yourself and have respect and esteem in your own sight, then it's very difficult to have self-confidence. And without a foundation of self-confidence, it is not very easy to establish the awareness of soul. So again, be your own best friend. Be your own ally. Stand up for yourself and your right to be. You are an extension from the heart and mind of God. You are pure and holy. And your nature, your true nature, is identical with that of your Creator. That is how to think of yourself. So you are a divine being temporarily clothed in this human suit. Like Jesus, you are both divine and human at the same time. Perhaps the only difference between Jesus and yourself is that Jesus never lost awareness of his divinity, not even for an instant. He was the Son who knew that he had never left the heart of God. Whereas most of us are in that process of discovering this, which makes him a very good way shower, because his whole life was about revealing how to hold that awareness of soul consistent and constant when you go through the worst of circumstances, which he certainly did. So your intention is another definition for God. It's been said that intention is God. perhaps we could call it the inner tension of attuned awareness. Because there's a certain impeccability, a certain, oh gosh, what would we call it? Self-monitoring and self-directing consciously that forms the intention of a soul that is absolutely prime ready to experience liberation in this lifetime. It's an inner attunement that you never lose sight of. It's so important to you. So just notice where you are right now in your intent. What is your intention? What is the intention of your life overall? Have a look, but again, look from your higher self's viewpoint. You know, make it work for you. Always look for your advantage, not for your disadvantage. So now move your awareness, if you would like, to that which is the mental state. Just be present and observe the thoughts. You don't have to understand them. You don't have to grab a hold of them and think about them. You don't have to clear them. You don't have to resist them or try to cause them to stop. That's an exercise of futility. You cannot stop these thought stream, which is part of universal mind. It just flows on like a great river of conditioned substance. Now, that's an interesting thought. Most people think they have to stop thinking to meditate. You might as well try to stop the waves from crashing on the seashore or stop a hot dog from panting. Not going to happen. That's why you have a mantra or your breath to focus on, because that gives the mind something to be occupied and engaged with while you, as awareness, transcend to the next level, which goes beyond thought and thinking. So that's very important, is to learn to watch, just observe. Be still and observe. You know, be still and know that I am God. That's a really good mantra. Or, God is. Just keep it really simple. Now, you don't have to do anything with anything that arises in your mind as thought. Just let it be. But practice experiencing yourself as pure awareness, quite separate and apart from this thought stream. And remind yourself that these thoughts are free to pass through me without hindrance. And practice that until you're conscious of yourself as the awareness that is simply observing. You're observing your physical body, you're observing your emotions, you're observing the thoughts passing through your mind. You're practicing soul awareness or soul transcendence. Very simple. So that's all you need to do, is just be present and aware and observe whatever is present there for you in this moment. In this moment, allow the Lord to handle your past and heal it. Allow the Lord to be present with you in this second, to guide you. And allow the Lord to lead the way into your future. In that way, you let go and let God. At the same time, you make yourself available for that next insight that is sure to come, because awareness dawns quite naturally in the mind in which all hindrance has been removed. And that hindrance sometimes comes up because we're afraid to really see what's there. But that fear of seeing what's there will absolutely dissolve the instant you have a truly transcendental divine experience of who you truly are. Once you've had an experience of soul awareness, where you know that you're not just your body, but something else. You're not just your feelings, but something else. You're not your thoughts and thinking, but something that transcends all of these things. Once you've had that experience, you will cease being so concerned about what people think about you, what they say about you. You begin to cultivate the impersonal self, which is simply another term for the soul. The soul is impersonal, doesn't take things personally, doesn't get offended. It sees all things as what they are. It can discern that people that are attacking are coming from various states of ignorance. They're attacking themselves, not you. They're castigating themselves, not you. You know, the weird thing is that everything we see in the lower states of human consciousness is seen through the lens of our own states and moods and belief systems and states of consciousness. All of it. Life is a mirror in the lower realms. It just shows you where you are by revealing it in someone else. Now, don't make yourself wrong for that. Because the moment you can see it and not shun it, not be afraid of it, not resist it, again, the light of your seeing dissolves the impediments to greater revelation and clarity. So there's nothing to fear, nothing to shun, nothing to resist or avoid. So that light of your awareness begins to illumine your whole body, your whole inner being begins to turn into light, that golden light of awareness. And that's why you can see it around people. You see it as a golden aura around their head, until eventually the whole body looks like an oval of golden light. That's the soul body. We saw it quite beautifully in the Croatian healer, Braco, when he was on the stage. He was presenting soul awareness, simply gazing at people. And through that silent and simple gaze of the soul, people's lives were changed and people were healed. And people were set free of the things that had blocked them before. So, being in the presence of someone who is self-aware or in soul awareness, it feels so good. Oh, we love to be in the presence of self-realized people. Not only does it feel good, but you can breathe your own air. You can relax. Because you know you're not going to be judged. You know you're going to be recognized for who you truly are. You know you're in a safe space. You know they're not going to attack you. You know that you're going to be heard. And you feel that peace that comes when you're with a person that is not trying to manipulate you for their own advantage. That's huge, because a person in soul awareness is free. The soul is free. It seeks nothing. It needs nothing. It expects nothing. It demands nothing. And yet, as soul, you do everything to your highest level of proficiency. Right now, in this moment, you do everything with great care, as best you can. That's sort of the nature of the soul. You know, it values each moment as worthy of its full loving attention. That's called in the shamanic tradition the impeccability of a spiritual warrior. A little different metaphor. But the soul has this tremendous accountability and ability to respond from the highest level of its being all the time. A person that is stabilized and that soul consciousness is the most excellent of people on every level. It's the best spouse, the best parent, the best practitioner of whatever spiritual path, the best employer and employee, the best and most skilled technician. So what we're learning to do is importing who we are as soul in eternity. We're importing it into this time-space projection that we call our human body and our human emotions and our human mind. We're stepping down that awareness and making it present through every level of our being. And yet that requires constant vigilance, because there are so many things that can distract you and snare you and cause you to become entrapped in the lower states of consciousness. That's why at a certain level you absolutely must have a teacher, a physical teacher. That is one of the requirements in the path that we call the spiritual traveler lineage. The spiritual travelers teach a form of spiritual approach that's called spiritual exercises, which is actively moving your awareness into those levels rather than sitting passively and waiting for them to come to you. You move yourself as soul, as awareness, into those levels. Or another way of saying it is you expand your awareness and become aware of yourself on more than just the physical dimension. You awaken to yourself in those other levels. And you do that in a more controlled and direct way, which enables you to tap consciously into the experience of the higher realms. And it is the practice, really, of dying daily. Because when you move your awareness in the deeper levels of soul, it's the same experience as dying, except the cord, the silver cord that connects you into your lower levels is not severed. So you're not traveling in your astral body, you're actually moving in your spiritual inner awareness as soul. What's the difference? In astral projection, you externalize from the physical body, you see the silver cord, but you're trapped in the lower dimensional universe. Oh, you may travel beyond the sun and the moon and the stars and see the galaxy, but you're still in the material universe, or the astral universe, which is very, very close, and a mirror image of the physical dimension. But when you're practicing soul awareness, you're moving your awareness into those heavenly divine states of consciousness and gaining reference points for continuity of consciousness, so that when it comes time for you to leave, make that final departure from the physical envelope, and that silver cord is severed when you finished your time here, you will go on living a life that is as vivid, as real, as conscious, and as ongoing as it is here. You just won't have the pain and the negative things involved with it. Again, it's a great releasing into greater freedom. So by learning to go where the soul is, finding that within yourself, and experiencing yourself as soul, you come to understand God. You come to understand the spiritual dimensions of life. And you gain reference points for your life there, just as you have gained reference points as you matured your body and grew up physically. You attained reference points for how to operate here in the physical world. As you move into these other dimensions, you gain reference points for how to operate there consciously. And you know, when I say there, or actually, it's actually a misnomer, because all the dimensions from the very highest God realms within the great, 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 great central sun, beyond the sun, beyond the sun, those realms, those imperishable God realms, are right where you're sitting right now. Every dimension, the very heart of existence, is sitting in you, with you, and around you, where you are right now. Contemplating that alone will bring you into soul awareness. To sit down at some point when you want to meditate and begin to contemplate that all the dimensions and all the realms and everything that ever was or ever will be is present with you right where you are, right where you're sitting. You don't have to go anywhere to be everywhere when you have moved your inner awareness into the soul. So as you learn to differentiate yourself as soul, as awareness, as pure awareness, apart from the body, apart from the emotions, apart from the feelings, apart from your imagination, apart from your unconscious levels and your subconscious, apart from your physical, elemental, or basic self, apart from everything that you've seen as separate, when you've differentiated, when you've transcended all of these stages of differentiation and remain the witness of all of them, you're in that awareness that we call soul. Now, simply by practicing soul awareness, you are moving into the process of healing and regenerating your body, your vitality, your energy, your health, and also creating more conscious self-mastery, and of course, experience of greater spiritual freedom. Now, basically, that was pretty simple, wouldn't you say? You just needed to sit quietly, breathe deeply, and observe and become aware of what was present for you here in this present moment. And by doing that, you're having a direct divine encounter with the presence of God as awareness. Now you're starting to directly experience yourself as awareness. You are able to actually know everything that you ever would need to know through simply becoming aware of that knowing that's always present with you. That's why sometimes you can evoke it by saying, if I had a knowing about that, what would it be? And then you just speak it out, because you always do know. Ignorance is actually the ego trying to convince you of your separation and your limitation. That's all. It's that little fearful thought form that likes to hold itself separate. And it thinks by keeping itself separate, it will keep itself safe. But the only safety is in your invulnerability. Excuse me. Is that right? Vulnerability? No. Your complete safety is in your total vulnerability. And I'm talking about spiritual vulnerability. That's the Lamb of God metaphor. A gentle, innocent lamb. But the lamb is also the Lion of Judah. Two metaphors for the Christ. So there's a lamb within you, which is the purity and innocence of the unconditioned consciousness. And there's a Lion of Judah, which is the power of you as a living spirit indwelt son and daughter of God. So it's pretty beautiful, don't you think? Pretty, pretty awesome. Now you can awaken to yourself as soul, as pure awareness, at any point. For most people, you know, they have no way of knowing how far they've already advanced in previous lifetimes upon the spiritual path. You can only get a sense of where you stand spiritually, by looking to see which level of consciousness you most consistently express from. For example, your strength of character, your courage, your clarity, your innate wisdom and knowing, your unconditional love. All of these are indicators that you've developed spiritually a considerable degree, and you're well on your way. A very advanced soul is characterized by a very rare quality that is called synthesis. Synthesis is the ability to see and comprehend the underlying truth in all people and spiritual approaches and things. It's the ability to see that same divine consciousness in and as everything. So people who have synthesis are very broad-minded and inclusive. They're universal and expanded in their state of awareness. That's where they live from. Now, one of the ways that we can broaden our consciousness, ideally, this is one of the best ways, is by experiences acquired through traveling. You know, traveling and living in other cultures and meeting and interacting with people who hold very different worldviews and different lifestyles and religious beliefs. It's very, very hard to be narrow-minded when you've been exposed to the world. So another way that we can develop that, aside from reading and participating with many people in the social networking that we have today, which is multicultural and worldwide, we can vicariously have experiences through programs on television and DVDs. So you can move your awareness into having an experience through a really captivating DVD. Because when you imagine something inwardly, your mind actually cannot tell the difference from whether you actually physically did it or you just thought about it inwardly. That's a really wonderful thing to know, is that you can create experiences of traveling physically and spiritually through a mocked up or experiential context and venue, through cyberspace, through television, as I've just said, through movies. So find those things that will enable you to broaden. Now, years ago, we had to depend upon reading. But today, we are going more and more into the internet as our consciousness pool, our wisdom pool. And it's a wonderful thing. Another quality that's exhibited by an advanced soul is the ability to feel at home wherever one happens to be. Yet realize, too, that you may not be traveling physically in this lifetime because you have done it perhaps in a previous life. So, again, do not assume that you lack a broadened consciousness just because maybe you haven't traveled a lot in this lifetime. Again, make everything work for you, to your own advancement, to your own spiritual advantage. And never think bad things about yourself, ever. Always think the best. So if you travel, that is a good thing. If you've stayed in one place your whole life, that is a good thing. Maybe you traveled in other lifetimes. So the soul always sees everything and everyone in the true light of their divine perfection. That's another indication of an advanced soul. They tend to see the perfection of things. The soul sees the beauty, the holiness, the divinity radiating through everything that they look at. And that is what puts them into states of divine ananda, or bliss. That's the joy of the Lord that is their strength, because everything they look at reminds them of the Beloved. And the soul is absolutely fearless because it knows it's immortal and forever one with God. Isn't that wonderful? To know that you are immortal, that you'll never cease to be, that you as a soul are totally beyond the experience of birth and death. I know we've been so misled by unenlightened clergymen who've only read books on a very mundane, superficial level, but have never genuinely had an experience of soul transcendence. You know, it's one thing to be a theologian and a scholar and to have read all the books and all the commentaries and practiced all the rituals and obeyed all the rules, and something very different to actually know the divine self as who you are. Not, you know, as a pretend arrogant thing. We see a lot of that today. A truly divinely realized person, for the most part, is very quiet. They're very humble. They don't talk about their attainments. And they don't consider themselves to be perfected in any way. They are constantly scientists researching levels of awareness and taking note of how to activate and quicken those levels of awareness more consciously. And they're not really looking to have followers. they're not really anxious to be the guru. Which doesn't mean they're not gurus, they just don't have that as a personal aspiration. So the soul experiences the absolute ecstasy of freedom. Can you imagine what it would feel like to be perfectly at peace, totally without any kind of negative energy anywhere, totally centered, totally clear, and totally present, relaxed, vibrant, deep inner peace, and a joyful heart? Do you know that that's the only purpose of time? To give you sequential experience of that, the unfolding of that, the attaining of that consciously, the cultivating of that. That and nothing else. That's why we are here doing the dance of dimensional, third dimensional life. That's the only thing to be done here, is to awaken to that which you've always been and will always be, but have simply lost sight of it amid the hustle and the bustle and the demands and the vivid out picturing of time and space scenarios. So the soul is free and accords that same freedom to everyone else, that same right to do and be and express however anyone sees fit. So this person in soul awareness will leave you alone. They won't tell you what you should do or must do or have to do, but they will come in and walk with you and give you positive feedback if you need it along your walk. But they allow you and encourage you to be yourself. The soul will never inflict itself upon you in your lower levels or upon another. What does it mean to inflict? It means to intrude into a person's life and consciousness where they have not been invited. That's why the soul will never enter into the place of judgment. The second that you judge yourself for another, the soul backs off and the ego is in full charge. So that's why it's important to cultivate staying clear. And you need to call yourself forward into the light and ask for that light to clear you, to flow through you, and clear anything that's not for your highest good. And you need to come into that soul awareness through your own intention and volition and personal allowing and willing. You move your awareness into that which is the divine self. And all the longing, the seeking, the homesickness, the feeling of depression or anger, the sense of emptiness, all of these less than joyful states are symptoms of your longing to experience your divine self, your soul, your Atma. All of that, every unpleasant thing that you experience is a cry to know the self. So when that longing becomes unbearable and you can't go through it another instant, that is the sign that you are finally ready for the master to appear. Now you need a master teacher, one from the lineage of spiritual travelers, if you're going to travel beyond the lower dimensions and establish herself permanently in the soul level or beyond in the God realms. You have to have a master teacher for that. And they come in through the Christ. They teach a pathway that is governed by grace. And they teach you how to find those keys of inner awareness to enable you to find those toeholds, those stepping stones to move yourself into those levels. They teach you the reference points. And once you've found the reference points and you have established yourself and secured yourself in the soul plane, then you become your own teacher from that point onward. But it is the Christ that is your teacher in the higher levels beyond the lower dimensions. Well, he will walk with you through all the dimensions. But he is the teacher that all must come to at some point, because he is the one that has the highest power and the highest keys that take you directly into the highest divine realms of spirit. That's why he's called the King of the Travelers. And, of course, we're speaking of the one who came as Jesus of Nazareth. So when you're ready, no one can ever be neglected or overlooked. The beloved ones who guard and guide humanity are watching every single soul for the indication that they are at last ready for more light. And at that point, each soul is guided to the path and the teacher that can best assist them at this time. Not everyone is ready to go home into the heart of God this lifetime. Some people are on a path of reincarnation and have more lifetimes that they want and need to pass through. Others are at their very last lifetime. Others have come in already God-realized or self-realized and have come back to be of service at this time as teachers or avatars or I was going to say gurus, but not necessarily. Many of the spiritual masters do not come forward in a visible form as a guru. Sometimes some of them have been shopkeepers, weavers, military men and women, or military men, usually they're in the male form, simply because females in most parts of the world up until recently have not been really very free. But that will change eventually, and we'll have more and more women travelers coming forward. So, where you are also on your spiritual path, unless you really know that it's not working for you and you've outgrown it, generally speaking, where you are is where you're meant to be. Or you'd be someplace else. So again, it's making what is work for you until it's obvious that another door is open for you. So some souls will pass through a succession of teachers, each one stepping aside when what they have given has been, you know, all that they have come to impart. And then the next teacher appears. And other souls may recognize their beloved master from previous lifetimes and find that he or she is incarnated on Earth at this time. And so they just continue on where they left off in their previous life. You never lose any of your spiritual abilities from life to life. You start each life exactly where you left off in the previous life, even though the physical personality valence, you know, the role may change. For example, you were a Himalayan yogi that was meditating in ashrams in the last lifetime. You may incarnate in a female body in the Western world and have a very glamorous worldly life. Why would that be? For balance of perspective and experience. So just because you were a master and a guru in one life doesn't necessarily mean that you'll come back and do that in another life. You may have a very quiet life. You may be a housewife. You may be a shopkeeper. But the consciousness, when you look at the consciousness, you'll see evidence of that lifetime as a yogi or a spiritual adept, whatever. Again, you will see the evidence of synthesis, courage, integrity, character, selfless love, the spirit of service. There'll be some indication of the advancement of that soul. So all teaching and learning is maximal and fully bestowed and fully received at the time it is given. And that is regardless of the content or the words or the duration. All teaching and all learning is maximal. This is very important to realize that you always get it all, whether your intention is to convey information or to receive information. You get everything and you give everything that is needed when you work with the Holy Spirit. So, okay. You know, here is what you need to notice in all of this that we just shared. And it all starts with looking to see what's present for you in your life right now. And you ask yourself, and you answer yourself, perhaps through journaling, what is going on with me? Where is my life force right now focused? And then you just go through the levels of your life and the areas of your life, and you just notice to see what can be tweaked, what can be jettisoned, what can be released, what can be transcended, what can be advanced to the next step? What do you need to do right now as a next step? So as you look at each of your levels, the physical, the emotional, the mental, the spiritual, and you really, really look, be honest with yourself. Where do you feel hemmed in or blocked or stuck? Remember, you're the one that placed that block there through some resistance to your own perfection and holiness. Yeah, your own resistance to your own holiness is what keeps you hemmed in, blocked, and stuck as an experience, not as a truth. You're like the, many of us are like the canary in an open birdcage. We sit in the cage afraid to venture out, even though there's no and nothing inhibiting us. So where do you experience a greater sense of spiritual flow in your life? Wherever you experience an opening into greater life, greater expansion, greater flow of freedom, greater energy, direct yourself into that. And locate opportunities to participate in joy and creative expression. And remember, the arts, the physical arts of music and dance and painting are all wonderful, but you are also learning to be creative as soul. So you might have been a Picasso in a previous life, or a Beethoven, or a Rodin, but in this life, you may not be doing any of that because your creativity is upon the inner plane. You are actually building and constructing in the astral and the causal and the mental and the soul planes. Yes, you create. It's your nature to be a co-creator. You are always creative. So when you finish mastering the creative arts in some form in the physical world, and most of us have mastered that in previous lifetimes, you might have an interest in those things or an involvement, maybe temporarily or for a cycle of your life, but at some point that creative thrust goes into the self and you begin to work on the inner planes of consciousness. So you're here to fully experience your life through each of your senses and every one of your vehicles of expression. We're not to shun anything. We're not to neglect any area of life. Everything is worthy of being done with love, being done with excellence, being done with full awareness and participation. And as I've often said, your real life begins when you awaken to yourself as soul. And I think you can just go through life and totally, totally enjoy everything. Everything's more fun when you do it from that sense of inner wholeness and holiness. So the idea is to get in touch with who and what you are as a unique individual, which always requires knowing yourself. And knowing yourself on every level of your consciousness that you can possibly tap into. And every level of your being is designed to fulfill a particular task. Your physical body is designed to move you through the environment with strength, with health, and with the ability to actively participate in meeting your physical needs and that of others through service. Your emotional body enables you to participate in relationships with others and to unite in creating a family, and spiritually to unite through devotion with God. So those are very useful and important levels. Even your lower mental body, or ego mind as I call it, enables you to function in limitation. Yes, even the ego has a purpose that it fulfills that's useful. You have to learn how to manage and do things here on earth and how to cope with situations and drive your car and prepare your food and survive in the physical dimension. And the ego mind really keeps track of all of that. It's a master of handling, the dimensions of confinement, time, and, human singularity. So the ego mind is useful in preserving your physical existence here until you awaken and dissolve it in the light of soul awareness. It simply dissolves in the light of soul awareness. But your higher mind, your divine intuitive mind, your inner buddhi or intellect, enables you to intuit and understand and experience and know the unseen realms of spirit. So that enables you to function as a conscious soul that's spiritually aware. So you move into the intuitive mind, which is the direct and straight knowledge and wisdom of the higher self. Your inner intuitive mind is also the same that we would call the higher self or the inner master or the Christ consciousness. And in Sanskrit, it is called Chit Shakti or Chaitanya, which is actually the power of spiritual awareness itself. So basically, this is you. You know, this composite, this marvelous composite, all of it is designed to house and host your true eternal identity as a spiritual being. It's beyond your body, and yet it uses the body. It's beyond your feelings and emotions, and yet it uses them. It's beyond your thoughts and thinking, and yet it uses them. It uses everything within you to expand into greater awareness. Cool, huh? Pretty amazing. And bottom line, God is awareness observing through your unique lens of consciousness. So God is the awareness behind your eyes, looking through your eyes as the witness and observer. That's where you find God. So you start out being here in human consciousness with the divine directive to be true to yourself. Find yourself, be yourself, and be true to yourself. And then transcend yourself into the impersonal self. And you pass through the stage of being a human into being a superhuman. And ultimately to master those levels and emerge as one that's fully one with the divine spirit. I know very well that you are the elect and the chosen ones of these latter days. That's why the Ashtar Command has given the directive to do these radio seminars. It's for you. It's to encourage you and to give you reference points for your conscious divinity. I know you're here to help heal and restore others to their own divine sense of wholeness, and to love and nurture the hurting and the forsaken ones of this world, because you have otherworldly, supernatural abilities to love unconditionally and to serve without personal recognition or agenda. I know that about you. I know that you have become confused by the worldviews and interpretations that are presented as truth by science and religion and the media and society. I know that this bothers you because we all seek to belong and to fit in somewhere. And yet, you're not here to fit in, but to introduce a new galactic culture and worldview. Each one of you are part of the vanguard of a race of Christ-conscious sons and daughters of God that are representing this in a myriad of worlds, united by the common cord of divine love. I know you are the absolute cream of the crop, heaven's best. You are the elders and the bodhisattvas and the saints and sages of the ages that are born into this world specifically for this global transformation and graduation. I also know that not a single one of you will fail in doing what you've come to accomplish. You know, you're all experts in ascending planets and inaugurating golden ages. You know, just think about it. Why, even on this earth alone, there have been six previous golden ages. So, you're an old hand at this. And even if you haven't been on Earth, you might have participated in inaugurating the golden age on Venus or one of the other sacred planets. So I know you all have a strong sense of personal responsibility and want to do your best. You want to give your all, and you desire to complete your missions with honor. And I know you want to return home. And I assure you, you will, beloveds of the stars. You will definitely return home. You are not alone. And in truth, we've already completed this mission of ascending this earth. And this occurred beyond Earth's current timeline, which, as I've often said, is actually in a time lag. So, in truth, we are but reviewing in slow motion, in sequential time, the events that we've already completed out of time, or in no time, in eternity. So everything's already been completed. So again, in soul awareness, you move your spiritual inner awareness to the place in which it's all fulfilled, so that you can know your own fulfillment. You can have the sense of completion. That applies also to things in the physical world that you think you have to complete. You can complete them in many ways. You can declare them completed. You can visualize them completed. You can mock up completion. You can postulate completion. Or you can simply move through it and complete it as much as you feel you need to feel complete with it. But completion is very important now, so that you don't have anything that binds you and ties you to a repeat of the third-dimensional planet Earth. And where your heart is, there lies your treasure. Where your treasure lies, there you must re-embody to have your treasure. So place your treasure within the citadel of your soul awareness. Don't have treasure in the world. Don't have treasure that you're attached to in anything that's in a material form. Everything you love will await you in God. Every person you love, you will find in God. Everything you have ever desired in your heart of hearts is already for you and awaiting for you in the divine spiritual awareness. So there's no loss. Absolutely none. So we are bridging time and eternity right now. And yay, you know what? God wins. And all the earth and all the heavens rejoice together, singing and dancing in victorious celebration. The Christ reigns supreme within and without, and we all awaken to find ourselves at home in the heart of God, in the very center of all that is as pure love. We are that pure holiness, pure goodness, pure eternal beingness, freedom, and infinite creative expression. So we're getting ready to pass now in this timeline into a new year, 2011. Wow. And before we know it, it'll be 2012, because we're certainly experiencing, with the acceleration of vibration, a speed up of time. So let me bestow on behalf of the United Fleets of the Ashtar Galactic Command our united blessings for a very, very enlightened, expanded, and grace-directed 2011. Happy, blessed New Year to each and every one of you, of our ground crew. And we will go out chanting, Anai Hu, which is the mantra of compassion. Deep breath. I just heard one of you ask, where do I find a spiritual traveler in the physical realm? Well, My spiritual teacher is a spiritual traveler, and his name is John Roger. And he and his successor, John Morton, are spiritual travelers. And they're living on the earth in Los Angeles. And you can connect with them by going to msia.org. So how simple is that? So on behalf of all of us, we say, Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed is the name of the Lord, Adonai.